When I've been thinking about caring, I guess we all recognize caring when we're on the receiving end, yet sometimes when we talk about caring and try to define it, it's pretty difficult. And I know that you've done some work with in the area of caring, and I'm wondering if you think we're any closer to defining what caring really is.
Well, there's a number of ways to define caring. I'm not sure if a hard and fast definition is all that important at this point in time. Caring is something that is really essential to keep families and societies and cultures together. I suppose at a different level it's also something that's essential to keep nations and humankind together. But as far as us being any closer to understanding it or knowing what it means, there's still a lot of argument about what caring is and what it encompasses and what the results of caring or not caring are. So I don't think that we're very close at all.
So why do you think caring is so important?
I think it's important for us to study caring and to learn to understand caring because it is really inherent in relationships, including professional relationships and working relationships. And as a nurse, that is the big problem that we have with caring. We're supposed to care. And yet, what is caring worth in a monetary value? If you care, you're not supposed to work for dollars. And yet, in essence, that's what they're hiring you to do. And it's been one of the problems traditionally with nursing and their low salary. It comes down to you'll get your reward in heaven mentality. Because you're such a caring person, you're supposed to care for people and not care about money. Poor nursing. I guess the other caring professions have the same problem. We know about teaching and the problems and the struggles that teachers have had to be adequately compensated for their salaries. We know about clergy and the struggles that they have had. They have the same problems. So it's not even necessarily one of the problems that's inherent in female professions, that largely affects female professions. Some of the caring professions have disregarded caring and overridden the monetary value. Medicine is one of those. Counseling psychology is more or less one of those professions. But nursing is yet to get there.
You say medicine has they're not based on caring anymore.
I think that they are kind of based on caring. It has been subsumed for the marketplace values, and that has been traditionally since the time of the Flexner report, so it's been that way a long time. So now that medicine, the interesting thing is that they're struggling to put some caring back into their philosophies. But they certainly are not expected to provide services for free just because they care, which apparently is so with the other helping profession.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
From some altruistic notion.
Sometimes we differentiate between care and cure, and the words almost tend to be dichotomized. Do you think that we have some evidence to suggest that they're mutually exclusive, as some people would think they are?
No, they're not mutually exclusive, and I'm very interested in the kinds of diseases or pathologies that for which there is no cure other than care.
Like chronic illnesses, for instance?
Chronic illness, classic example, but then there are other psychiatric illnesses which can be controlled but not cured. And there are some more minor pathologies. Anorexia nervosa perhaps is one.
So is caring just a way out when we can't cure, do you think, or?
No. And we know that sometimes curing strategies without any care is equally ineffective. But to put a value or account for the variance that is attributed by caring and that by curing is almost impossible. And so the interesting thing with medical research is that they try and remove, when they're doing their research, try and remove all of the therapeutic effects of caring, which they call the placebo effect, from the cure and measure the efficacy of the cure, the treatment itself. This is really one of the fallacies in medical research, because we know that when the practitioner then administers the cure, he doesn't try and administer the placebo effect, he should try and use it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in your work with, I know you've done some work with Indian medicine man, and from what I was reading about it, is that an example where they're combining the care and the cure?
Oh yes, it's wonderful. They combine all of the tricks in the hat and really maximize themselves as a therapist, as well as their treatments, their cures, as well as the spiritual part of caring. They're all put in the hat all at once. And if your purpose is to cure, that's how it should be. Why ignore something just because it's not considered scientific or whatever?
So in that sense, we in guise of Western medicine have something to learn from the Indian medicine man?
Oh, they certainly do. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. What implications do you think learning something about what the Indian medicine man has for nursing?
I wrote a paper which is with David Young, which is coming in Social Science and Medicine, looking at the practice of the medicine, the healer, and it says in this paper that what he is doing is using all of the strategies of caring that nurses use, along with the knowledge of the pharmacist, along with the practices of the physician. And attributing all of the cure, the efficacy of this healing, to the Great Spirit rather than taking credit for the efficacy himself, as our physicians do. I don't know if that means that medicine has something to learn from nursing, whether we should combine those roles or nursing has something to learn from medicine. I don't want to suggest that we should stop our specialization. But I think that we could certainly stop our narrow thinking.
Mm-hmm. That nursing is exclusively care and medicine is exclusively
yes,
cure?
Yes, it's a false dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that you've also done some recent work on gift giving between patients and nursing as being reciprocity for care. Can you tell me what you mean by that?
Yes, one of the problems in our healthcare system as I see it today is that of an equity and imbalance. The problem is that nurses work for the hospital and they give care to the patient. And this means that unless the patient has a chance to give back to the nurse, then they're forever indebted to the nurse. And therefore somewhat dependent. The dependency doesn't go away, which interferes with recovery and rehabilitation. Throughout the world, one of the most striking things is the relationship between the healer, or the person giving the care, and the person being treated. Almost universally, cross-culturally, there is the opportunity for the patient or for the person being treated to give back to the traditional healer or to give back to the traditional midwife. And we deny that in our culture. Hospitals get very uptight about such a gift-giving relationship. And this is another international phenomenon, despite this almost universal discomfort which has come from Florence Nightingale's time, about gifts exchanged from the person being treated to the caregiver. Administrative policies have tried to interrupt this relationship and stop it, and haven't been able to. They've been totally unsuccessful. So that gift giving goes on. If the patient does not have the opportunity to reciprocate, to give back to the caregiver, then they tend to go off and do for others and repay their debt more or less by doing something for other people. And this is the basis of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous recovery program. So I looked at this relationship to try and understand it, to put it in context. It's interesting to really look very completely at this relationship, because when patients give back to the nurses, it's a symbol of the relationship. It's not something that's usually done because it's habit or because it's a cultural norm or because it's Christmas. And when they give back to the nurse or to the doctor, their gift is very often reflective of that relationship, so that if the care has been very poor, then they give back by getting even or by sabotaging care or not turning up for treatment. And if the care has been excellent, then the gift becomes highly significant, both to the caregiver and to the patient. It's a very important step in terminating the therapeutic relationship. Now, hospitals at the moment are trying to redirect these gifts to the hospital foundation or to control these gifts or to compile them in a central place. This is unfortunate because it's totally ineffective for the purposes that both the nurse or the physician and the patient need. The gift to the hospital foundation is far too removed from the very intimate and special relationship between the caregiver and the patient. So it loses its effect.
Mm-hmm. So are we always talking about expensive gifts or monetary gifts in this kind of situation?
No. In fact, a gift can be really an intangible thing, a look or a thank you or an apology. The gift can be, in a monetary sense, worthless, but at the same time it had great significance for the nurse and the patient.
So do you think that if patients are denied the opportunity to reciprocate in this way for the care they've received from nurses, that might have some impact on their health or well-being afterwards?
And their recovery, oh, I certainly do, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I know one of the other notions that you're interested in is comfort, and I'm wondering how you see it as related to care and cure and some of the things we've been talking about.
Oh, this is really a can of worms. Caring is very, since maybe the late 1970s, caring has been very much in vogue in nursing as the essence of nursing or the central domain of nursing. Yet theorists who are writing on the subject have a great deal of trouble including all that nurses do under a caring framework. And so we have been trying to examine the notion of comfort as the purpose of nursing and flip things around a bit, rather than saying that comfort is a part of caring. We're trying to say that caring is a part of comfort, so that caring fits into what nurses do by providing the altruistic motivation for nurses to nurse to make the actions that they do humane and good and gentle for the benefit of the patient. But there's the whole area of comforting actions, which are not included in the caring framework, but can be included in the notion of comfort. So we're saying that comforting is caring plus the actions that nurses do. It's much a broader concept. So we're not throwing caring out, we're incorporating it in what we're doing.
So if caring is the motivator, then is it something that is constant in all situations?
No. And it is something, caring that is something in people. We're just beginning to grasp this notion. Caring is something that the individual must control in order to provide excellent care to a patient. For example, if a nurse cares a lot, it's not possible for her to inflict pain, and any nurse that works on a burns unit will be able to describe to you the strategies that she uses to stop herself from caring, from feeling the patient's pain, but at the same time the actions that she does are for the patient's benefit. It's tricky. It's interesting to study surgeons because they do this too. They shield themselves. They depersonalize the patient into a case so that they can cut through the skin and do their surgery.
So when some patients tell us that they've been cared for by nurses who don't care, they may be right.
That's right, they may be right, but in that situation they're clearly needing a nurse, or in some of those situations they're needing a nurse that does care, and the nurse has burnt out or become too fatigued or is too busy and too rushed to meet their needs, so that their actual nursing care that they're receiving is probably inferior and could be improved. It's very tricky.
And yet, on the other hand, there's problems if the nurse cares too much.
There certainly is. The nurse cares too much. The nurse cannot care for all patients at that level, so some needs of other patients are not met. Hospitals worry about nurses that become over-involved because they're inclined to burn out, or because they're inclined to meet the person's need as a person, rather than the therapeutic needs or the hospital's needs. So the care can be compromised.
Do you think that there are ways to find out if caring really makes a difference to the patient?
Do you mean to the patient's health outcome or the patient satisfaction?
I think to their health and well-being.
Yes, I think that there are ways, and I think that they've been poorly investigated. Most of the studies have been to look at their psychological well-being, their satisfaction. I think that whether or not someone receives good care should be evident in physiological terms as well. In nursing we have a notion that the physician prescribes the care, and I think this is a false notion. He certainly prescribes the treatments within limits, the pills or the antibiotics, but it's the nurse who is there providing the care that recognizes early signs of complications, that knows how to provide comfort measures and knows what's available and what she can offer the patient even before the patient complains of a dry mouth or a pain in the leg. And the quality of assessment, I think, is directly related, and the numbers of comfort measures provided is related to how much the nurse cares about the patient and cares about her job. Cares about herself as a nurse, I suppose.
So do you have any advice for the new graduate in terms of how much she should care or how to balance her caring?
No, I don't know how to make new graduates wise nurses, and I'm afraid that the research that we did in the gift-giving project shows that nurses learn to become wise nurses by through experience, by caring too much and suffering because they cared too much, and withdrawing and bouncing around within this framework until they learn what level of involvement to reach with patients. And I'm afraid I don't know how to tell them how to be wise nurses right from the beginning. The problem with that system is that if a nurse cares too much, she might exit nursing, burned out very early.
Mm-hmm.